1 week from tomorrow, a really awesome online experience is going to take place, a rock and roll fantasy camp masterclass, as you get to go behind the scenes with the Academy Award-winning songwriters from the film Dirty Dancing. And as it so happens, they are both here with us this afternoon. We're pleased to welcome back to the show Oscar winners Frankie Previtt and John DeNicola. Guys, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Richard. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you guys back on with us. This is such a cool event coming up. And you've also got, Frankie, a pretty special guest who will be joining you for this next week.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. I had reached out to Lisa Nimi Swayze, and she is going to join us. So, you know, for all of you people out there, you know, all your Dirty Dancing secrets will be answered. Lisa has, you know, behind the scenes and things about Patrick and his feelings about making the movie. And, you know, John and I will get into the weeds about how we wrote the songs Time of My Life and Hungry Eyes, Can't Forget His Little Brother. And John actually has the multi-track of these demos that Baby and Johnny, Patrick and Jennifer actually danced to. So John, you know, and I will be breaking the songs down and answering all your questions. It's a Zoom. And the best thing about all this, we're giving all the proceeds to the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. So that's what we're feeling good about.
John, this is such a cool thing that you guys are doing, and you've gone on, you've both gone on to have many successes since Dirty Dancing as well, but it keeps coming back to that. What is it about this film and the music that you created that has had such legs and make it, I would say, not only as popular, but more popular all these decades later?
Yeah, it does seem like it's almost more popular now. I guess somehow it's intergenerational. I don't know, if, you know, a 90-year-old will like it as much as a, you know, 9-year-old. So I can't quite put my finger on it. We've talked about it before, Frankie and I, and, you know, it does harken back to a time, 1963, where America was a little less jaded, a little more, optimistic and hadn't, you know, as I've said before, this is the summer before John F. Kennedy gets shot. So that was a rude awakening in the U.S. I don't know. I think it's because it harkens back to a simpler time. I mean, obviously there's some, you know, there's issues in the movie that are dealt with also, but I don't know. I think, you know, it's Romeo and Juliet, as Frankie and I were saying. It's a 500-year-old story, just done a different way, you know. And you can't beat Patrick and Jennifer. They, you know, I often say you can watch that movie over and over and not see the acting. You know, they still look like they're just being Baby and Johnny. And I think that, you know, there's a little bit of camp to it, too, a little bit of jokesterism that works, you know, nobody puts Baby in the corner. You know, it's got everything. It's got a very sexy male lead, a very cute female lead, and it's got some music.
Well, Frankie, let's talk about that. How did you guys get involved? What was the process of you and John being a part of Dirty Dancing?
Well, you know, John and I were songwriting partners for possibly 6 months or so. And I got turned on to John by a fellow named David Prater. And David was, I was in his studio, and he was working with John, unbeknownst to me. And he just said, I've got this song, this track from this guy, and it's just, I think maybe you could write something really cool to it. So I said to him, all right, play the track. So I did. I listened to the track, and I went, this is a really good track, and I'd like to write something to it. And so I called John, and the very first song John and I wrote together was called Hungry Eyes. So we started off on a good note together, and that song was really written for Frankie and the Knockouts, which was the band I was in, for the next Frankie and the Knockout record. That really never happened. And so what had happened when I got this phone call from the record label that I was on 2 years prior, and the president of the label, Jimmy Einer, said to me, listen, I've got this little movie. I'd like you to write a song. And I was Jimmy. said, I don't really have time. I'm trying to get a record deal. You closed your label. And he goes, no, I got a good feeling about this movie. I said, all right, what's the name of the movie? And he goes, Dirty Dancing. And I put my hand to my forehead, and I went, oh, my God, Jimmy's doing porn. You know, I'm thinking he's doing a porn flick. And he was like, no, this is a good little movie. So he gave me the romantic story, Baby Meets Johnny, and a few more details. And he says, so now I've talked you into the movie. That's the good news, into writing for the movie. And he goes, the bad news is it's got to be 7 minutes long. It's for the last scene of the movie. And I'm thinking, MacArthur Park, I got to write MacArthur Park. And so I said, okay, we'll come up with a track. And so the very first person I thought of to work on this with me was John. And so I called John, and we talked about, you know, the length of the movie and where it was going to go and what type of vibe it needed. And John got together with Don Markowitz, who was the other co-writer on the song, and they sent me a track. And I took that cassette, and I shoved it in my dashboard of my car on the way to the studio. And I can remember on the Garden State Parkway exit 140, jamming to that cassette, going, in, I'm of my life, scribbling Time of My Life on an envelope. And really, I would have never wrote that song if Jimmy didn't call, because it was out of the realm of me as a artist of who I was. I was more the Hungry Eyes type of performer, writer. And the man upstairs really wrote that song. You know, it's kind of just the stars got aligned for us, really. That's what happened.
John, do you remember Patrick Swayze's reaction when he first heard the song?
Well, we weren't there at that moment, but we did see Patrick at, I don't know whether it was the Golden Globes or whatever. We went to a dinner after one of the award shows, and Patrick kind of... you know, explain to us, Frank, why don't you tell him, because I think you had it firsthand on that one.
Yeah, he kind of like sussed us out, because the song meant so much to the whole cast. And he kept on saying to me, who sang the demo? Who wrote this? Who did that? And I go, why is that so important, Patrick? And he goes, because we really didn't like the movie. And I said, how could you have not liked the movie? And he goes, because we didn't have an ending. Mm. And we filmed the last scene first. So we filmed out a sequence. And not having a song to end the movie with, we were just like, okay, let's just get this over with and, you know, move on. And the 150th song submitted, you know, we weren't asked to write. We weren't the only ones asked to write for that scene. There was 149 other people. So we were in the lottery. And he said, when we heard the song, we just like started dancing around the room saying, we're making the movie to this song. That's it. And so they kind of redid the choreography. And he said, at the end of the day, we just looked at each other and went, oh, my God, what just happened? Let's go make a movie. And then the next day they filmed to John and me and that version of Hungry Eyes. And so, you know, we are part and parcel of having these demos that were they filmed the movie to, you know, to our demo. So it was important. And that's why when we do something for the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, we're doing it in Patrick Swayze's honor, because of what the movie meant to him and what the song meant to him. And we're trying to give back in his memory.
Well, that's a wonderful story. We're talking with Frankie Previtt, John DeNicola, the songwriters who won the Oscar for Dirty Dancing. And I mentioned both have had continued success since then. And John, man, Hungry Eyes, your version of it is still getting done, getting played all around the country. And the album, The Why, Because, we talked with you about that. That's for a solo album that was a long time coming, that's done a great thing for you.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of all gravy for me at this point. You know, the song is well known, and I did my own take on it, you know, 35 years later, and you know, it's on the adult contemporary charts. I think it's number 16 this week, and still going up. So, you know, I feel really fortunate. You know, I like the way it came out. We did a very cool video with it that's kind of reflects our coronavirus times with face masks and all that. And, you know, I couldn't be happier, actually.
And, Frankie, you've been back on the charts yourself with your wonderful song, One World.
Yeah, that's an interesting journey that song has taken. After the Academy Awards, I got chosen as one of America's 25 songwriters to represent the United States. And so I went there with Barry Mann and Mike Stoller and Cyndi Lauper and Desmond Child and Diane Warren, 25 of us. And we wrote with the 25 songwriters, Soviet songwriters. And within 9 days, we wrote 50 songs. And so from those 50 songs, Columbia Records did an album called Music Speaks Louder Than Words. And Earth, Wind, and Fire actually recorded the song One World. And they kind of dropped the ball, and the record never really got released. And so 30-some-odd years later, I'm doing an interview like I'm doing now. And it was, you know, my question was asked, what about American songwriters? You know, how will they get to the other side of normal? And I'm going, it's not about only American songwriters and musicians. We are in this together. We are, the world is in this. We are in one world. And realizing that I had written a song called One World, I called Pamela Philip Olin, who I co-wrote the song, and the two Estonian songwriters, Sergei Manukian and Mick Targa, we kind of got together and said, let's put this song out and give back to the Musicians Foundation, the Actors Fund, the First Responders Children's Foundation. And then finally we realized that the NAACP was a charity that couldn't be ignored. So those charities, we put the song together, we put it out, it went to number 27 on the AC charts, and it's still doing well. We're, you know, we're proud of the song, and we have a lot of celebrities that have gotten behind the song to help with it. Patti LaBelle and Tico from Bon Jovi, Tico Torres, and Evelyn Champagne King, and just a bunch of people. So if you go to our website, it's called OneWorldOurSong.com. And you can see what we're doing. Donate whatever you can afford, a dollar, and we give you the song for free. We give you a free download. So, and all that money goes to those charities. So we're trying to give, you know, take our music and give back, because we are blessed to have where we are. And this way, hopefully we can do a healing moment. And the world, I think, at this particular time with the pandemic and all the craziness that's going on, we could use a healing moment, and maybe music will speak louder than words.
No question about that. Well, the Masterclass with Frankie and John and Lisa Niemi Swayze, again, is next Friday. You can get tickets at rockcamp.com. That's rockcamp.com. And we got a special offer to let you know about. For the first 20 people who purchase a ticket, you get a $25 discount at checkout if you use the promo code DD2020. That's DD2020. 2020 to see this wonderful Zoom event coming up next Friday. And John and Frankie also going to be doing some Zoomcast to raise funds for a number of nonprofits in 2021 as well. Frankie, John, it's always good to talk with you guys. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you together with Lisa next week.
Yeah, hey, so much. I just wanted to say it's rockcamp.com/masterclass.
Perfect.
So you have to have that slash masterclass on the end of the rockamp.com.
All right.
But thank you for having us. I really appreciate it, and gives us a chance to, you know, people to hear our voice.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Stay well, be safe, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, down the road.
Thanks, Rich.
Frankie Previtt, John DeNicola with us here on Downtown Talking Dirty Dancing. What a fun event that'll be next Friday, along with Patrick Swayze's widow, Lisa.